Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Take the Black Live, the show where myself, Dan Selke of winterscoming.net, and Daniel Roman over there, hello, of winterscoming.net, talk about all things sci-fi, fantasy, movie, TVs, books, swords, dragons, spaceships, and post-apocalyptic good guy zombies. Hello, everybody, for coming. Nice. Hello, Martha. Hello, Robert. Hello, Nicole. Hello, Julie. A happy good morning to you over in Australia. Whether it's good morning, good afternoon, or good night, we always promise you good times here at Take the Black. And Daniel Roman, what are we talking about today?
Oh man, we've got so much stuff to talk about today. But one thing we probably won't be talking about too much is Westeros, because it's been a dry week in the Seven Kingdoms. You know, not a whole lot's going on. I don't know if all the ravens got intercepted or what, but we're going to be talking about lots of other fantasy and sci-fi stuff, not so much Game of Thrones. Although there was one kind of fun little thing I wanted to bring up to you before we get into, you know, things like Fallout, things like Black Sails, things like Shogun and whatever else we're watching. You found a pretty interesting story that I think is kind of funny, that is an intellectual property rights thing, that apparently there is a Game of Thrones play that is going to be happening, or it's not a play, it's like an adaptation of an opera, right? Real quick, before we move on, what is the deal with this? Because it sounds ridiculous.
Daniel, you're not even scratching the surface. Okay, really, really fast, you guys. This is just a little... If you happen to live in Orlando,
this is Florida, a curiosity.
Over Friday and Sunday, there is an 1835 opera called Lucia di Lammermoor. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Italian opera.
That's good.
You know, a woman is promised to marry a guy that she doesn't want to, but she's forced to, and then he leaves her, but not really, and everyone dies by the end. This opera company, the Orlando Opera Company, has recast everyone as Game of Thrones characters. So now the main girl and her wicked brother are Starks, and she's engaged to an Aaron she doesn't want to marry because her real love is a Greyjoy. And they all have swords and costumes, and it's only running for two nights, this Friday and this Sunday, at a Opera Orlando in Orlando, Florida. And the Floridians would try and pull something like this. I don't know if they got permission. I don't know if they got rights, but it's a Game of Thrones themed version of the opera Lucia di Lammermoor, which sounds like it's a good time. And I hope they get away with it because it sounds kind of fun. That's literally all I have about Game of Thrones this week. And we're not going to talk about Shogun that much, by the way, Robert. We'll mention it. We can't not. It's really, really, it's a great show. But we will not spoil it for you. Robert's concerned we don't want to spoil it for him because we just want to get spoiled. So you have our Scout's Honor. This might be Scout's. That we shan't do that. But we will talk about it a bit. And that's all the Westeros news we got. Daniel, let's move on to a show that I know you watched and loved, that I'm watching and really enjoying, and that a lot of people on our website seem to have really taken to because they keep visiting to look at what we write about it. Daniel, why should people, if they haven't, if you out in the chat, Facebook, YouTube, anywhere you can watch it, really, if they haven't yet, why should they watch Fallout on Amazon Prime Video? And what is Fallout?
Yeah, so Fallout is a post-apocalyptic story set in like 2296, I think. The world has ended, and now centuries later, people are on the surface, and it's zany and weird, but also mind-bending with some good plot twists and some great writing and characters. Fallout is based on a video game series that has been running since the late 90s. and now is being, it's changed hands a couple of times, but now it's being run by Bethesda, which is the video game company that does like the Elder Scrolls. So like Skyrim, those kinds of very open world games filled with lots of lore and little tidbits. And Fallout, I was kind of curious how it would be received by people who aren't familiar with the games. And it seems like a lot of people, whether they know the games or not, are really enjoying the show because it's just kind of an accessible, fun show. You don't really need to know anything else about the franchise in order to enjoy it. This on screen here is Lucy. She's a vault dweller, so she comes from an underground vault, which is how some people survived the apocalypse in very privileged underground vaults. And she is forced to go to the surface and on a dangerous mission. The whole season is out. And that's something I did want to talk about because that's been kind of a point of discussion going around of was that folly or was that a great choice? Fallout, if you want just a very fun show, you like sci-fi, you like Mad Max, you maybe like the first season of Westworld, because this is from Jonathan Nolan and Lisa Joy, who made Westworld, as well as there's some people in the mix who worked on Silicon Valley, which that comedy bona fide really does show through in this series. There are a lot of good comedian guest stars, and a lot the comedic timing is really on point. If you just want a fun show that you can consume, and you'll get a full ride in this season, even though it leaves things open for a return, I think it's worth the watch. Dan, I kind of wanted to ask you, because correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think you have played the games much, right? So what did you think of this?
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm not all the way done yet. I'm three episodes in, much like Nicole, who says she's halfway through Fallout, enjoying the overall premise, acting, costume, sets. It's a bit campy, but it's interesting. I agree. I would describe it as fun. I like the setting too. So I've never played Fallout. But I'm a nerd, so I've always been kind of on the periphery. I know what it is. I can't move in the spaces I move in, and I've picked up that the Fallout games are kind of a 1940s retro futurist post-apocalyptic RPG series that have been big for literal decades now. And I like, and like you said, that there's people involved in Westworld and there's people involved in Silicon Valley, and they do kind of bring the comedy and bring the action and the drama and meld it in a way that is very, just goes down pretty easy. There's always a new thing around the corner, whether it is a spectacular sight like the giant walking robot suits we saw, the Brotherhood of Steel traversing the wasteland, trying to maintain order in a world gone mad. Whether it's a comic moment, I loved the little brother character who's kind of stuck back in the vault and kind of like exploring what the dark underbelly, what's going wrong with it. I really like Ella Purnell as the lead, Lucy, this kind of naive bunker dweller who, for the first time in her life, comes to the surface of this ruined world and has to explore it. But they always keep the fish out of water funny side to it. Like, you know, she keeps saying okie dokie and these kind of very 1950s-esque chipper sayings, even though the world around her is full of giant man-eating cockroaches and like disgusting kind of barter economies that are very desperate and bloody, but she maintains her sort of can-do attitude. It's definitely being played for laughs, because post-apocalypse, you could sell this as brutal and horrible, you know, like you could sell this as the serious version of this show is nothing but bleakness from start to finish. I wouldn't call Mad Max. I was going to say like, it's more like Mad Max, but Mad Max is pretty crazy too, actually. But this show is you have the danger of the post-apocalypse and all these freakish things that have come up in the last 200 years, but you also have quite a lot of zippy comedy that is at the expense of the characters, is with the characters, and it's fun. I think it's a really, really well-made show that is that aims successfully to keep you entertained throughout. And I think it's the latest example of a video game show that isn't just good, but quite good, and another horseman of the apocalypse for superheroes, because video game movies and shows, whether you want them to or not, are going to, we're going to see so many of these in the next 10 years. They're going to be the biggest thing in TV and movies, bar none. And, but you know what? If they're as good as this, bring it.
Yeah, I mean, you've been sounding that call for a while now, that superheroes,
I'm a genius,
are ebbing. Video games are coming more into prominence as adaptations, because we've had a few really good ones in a row. And I agree with you. I do hope that if that ends up being the case, which it is, like, we know that studios are making a bunch of different ones that are on the way, like a Horizon Zero Dawn adaptation's on the way, a God of War, like all these different ones are being made right now. But I so sincerely hope, and cynical me knows this isn't going to be the case, but like, I would love it to be the case, that studios would take like the right lessons from something like Fallout and The Last of Us, like, which are helmed by people who like very, very clearly loved these games and understood them. So like, it's interesting hearing, like, you know, you said, like you said, it could have been played very bleak, not with as much laughs, stuff like that. And like, you're right, Mad Max is weird too. And I do think it's probably like the most comparable other series that exists to this, just in terms of like, it's the apocalypse, but it's also weird. And we've got a lot of gallows humor because it's so damn weird. But this is even more on the humorous side, I think, than Mad Max. And like, that is on purpose. And the games are like that too. And that is why, like, in interviews with like Todd Howard, who's the guy who runs Bethesda, or like Jonathan Nolan, like the thing, all of these interviews, when I listen to them, they come back around to is like getting the tone right was like really important to them, because that tongue in cheek can't be tone, but like it could turn on a dime and you're like, oh my God, this is the most messed up thing I've ever heard. Like, that is Fallout. And I think they really nailed that in this series. So I hope that if we're going to get a lot more video game adaptations, that the studios will continue, hopefully, to get people like Jonathan Nolan or Craig Mazin, who've obviously played the games, obviously know them, and work with the studios, right? The Last of Us had Neil Druckmann, who was, you know, the creator of the games, and that collaboration shows. Fallout, they were really involved with Bethesda making this, to the point where like they would send scripts over and basically Bethesda would tell them like, this is a great idea. Like, we see the origin of the Vault Boy, which is like the little blonde cartoon with the thumbs up. Like, that's the thing that Bethesda, when they heard that Fallout was doing this, were like, that's so smart, I wish we had thought of that. At the same time, there are things where they came back and said like, we're planning that for a later game, you can't, please don't use it. So like, that level of collaboration, I feel like, really helps elevate something like this to the degree where like, now, like, it's not just good for game fans, it's good for anybody who likes these kinds of shows. And I think that's really important too, so that it's not just this narrow niche of, if you like Fallout, like, it's all wink wink for you. Like, no, anybody could watch this and you'll get an idea of what a Fallout story is. Like, it feels like a Fallout story, the same way the games do. They're all set in the same world. This is canon to the video games. It's set later. I think they've really knocked it out of the park with this. I would be shocked if Amazon does not renew it. Do you think we're going to get a renewal? What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, yeah. Yesterday. And I agree with you that it can be taken in by anybody. A couple of our commenters have seen it, although I don't get the idea you guys have played the games. Like, Julie says she liked it, didn't love it, but it is different, which is always a good thing, which I agree with. Yeah. Good. I mean, there's so many video games over the years that are technically original IPs, because they were, you know, conceived in an era before they were really thinking about turning them into movies or TV shows. That is a good thing, because we're going to have a lot of things over the next 10 years that are going to seem, because they are for the screen, like new ideas, even though they've really been developed pretty robustly in the background in the video game space for like years and years and years. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a good time. What thought that I have? Ooh, Andrew has a fun question for us. Do you have a dream video game adaptation, Daniel, for a TV show or a movie? If you ran Hollywood and could say, we're going to turn this into it, anything spring to mind?
That's really hard. The one that springs to mind, and I don't know if I would if I really sat and thought on this, I don't know if I would come to this same conclusion, but which one that I always think I would love to see is Lunar. Do you know Lunar, Dan?
I do know Lunar. I played Lunar when I was younger. Silver Star Story. Yeah, it's the one.
Cool. Yeah. So Lunar, I don't know that that's like, if I had to pick one, if you held a gun to my head, Lunar is what I would say, but that's what's coming to mind now. I love a good, like, Peter Jackson style, like, really gets the story, like, gets the charm of the story and isn't going to, like, Game of Thronesify, because Lunar is meant to be accessible. Like, give me a Lunar show or a Lunar movie. What about you, Dan? What's your answer to this?
I can't believe you suggested Lunar Silver Star Story. I did not think we'd talk about that today. I think it'd be good as, like, an anime.
Master Alex.
That one. I'm not sure that I would need like a live action for Lunar Silver Star Story, but for me, I really don't know. Like, I think we're kind of alike, that you and I played like a lot of Japanese RPGs when we were younger, so I still have like Chrono Trigger and Final Fantasy around in my head, but I don't really know. A Metal Gear Solid seems pretty obvious. Because that's kind of like a spy series, y'all. And the guy who made them, Hideo Kojima, very obviously wanted to be making movies anyway, so those would lift like directly into it. I'm kind of shocked it hasn't happened yet, but I'm pretty sure it will now.
I was just gonna say, yeah, Metal Gear Solid, that is shocking that that hasn't, like, that is, if you want ones that would make really good movies, because Lunar, you're right, an anime would be cool, but like I'm not sold on that at all. But Metal Gear Solid, or like Red Dead Redemption is another one. Sure. Either of those, it's like they're like made for it almost. Sign me up for those. Either one.
Robert Harris's son loves Samus from Metroid. That could be good, like a silent movie. I'd like that. And is Julie a fantasy fan? Final Fantasy VII, which technically I think there have been Final Fantasy VII movies, just they've been CGI animated, not like a retelling original story yet. Give it time, fantasy fan. No. And I like Julie's comment. Julie says that, I have to admit, I'm not sure how I feel about game adaptations as a non-gamer. I find it a tiny bit distracting to not imagine someone playing the game and moving through the game levels. That's just my POV. Book adaptations feel better because I can just lose myself in the story as opposed to having to get somewhere. I see what you're saying. I do think that if you adapt a game right, it won't feel like it's adapted from a game. You know what I mean? Like, The Last of Us show was good in ways that I don't think you need to think about its origins as a game to like. Like, again, the episode, the third one, where it's just Frank and Pills, like, post-apocalyptic. Man, we love the post-apocalypse, don't we? How badly
we
as a species want the world to end so we can rebuild from the ground up? Pretty badly. But anyway, that episode... very moving, very intense, kind of takes the games as a starting off point, but doesn't really stick to them. I think a good game adaptation doesn't have to remind you that you're watching a game adaptation. And of course, I don't think books are going anywhere either. There will always be a place for that. But I welcome our new game adaptation overlord, because I think there's a really rich, like, decades of buildup of stuff, of source material to be translated into a new thing. And there'll be failures. There already are. The Halo show is kind of bumping along the ground there. It's not awful, but it's just hasn't really set the world on fire. And there are going to be successes. Yeah. The last year, the Super Mario Bros. Movie was one of two movies, the other being Barbie, to make over $1 billion at the box office. That's a big deal.
Wow.
The Last of Us, Fallout is definitely a hit. There's a lot of variety too, because video games are such a wide category. There's so many different kinds of games, as many kinds of different games as there are kinds of different books to read or movies to watch, from, you know, action ones that you can turn into like an action movie, or story-based ones, increasingly more experimental ones. There's really no end to the variety, so I don't see it as a bad source of source material. I think it's a pretty rich vein to mine.
I can understand the hesitance, especially if you're not like familiar with a lot of these games. Like, it's taking adaptations from a medium you maybe don't know. And I think bad adaptations often do it in a way where it makes you cringe and imagine,
sure,
you know, them yeah. trying to interpret it. Like, there's a spot in Halo, and Halo, I agree with you, I've enjoyed watching it, but it's clearly not the runaway hit that some of these other game adaptations are. I think Halo took its games and said, well, if we're going to adapt it for the screen, we have to do something different. Otherwise, what's the point? And Fallout kind of has the opposite mentality, where they're like, if we're going to adapt it for the screen, we're going to make it feel just like the game, but it's going to be for television. So it doesn't, if you've never played one before, you'll just get the feeling of what one's like. And it's a lot of similar like beats and things like that, but it's not pronounced enough where, unless you're really like analyzing it, you're not like, oh, she's in a dungeon now, oh, she just leveled up. Like, you don't need to think about these things at all, but if you're really, really familiar with the mechanics, you might pick up on them. Whereas Halo, it's like they basically said, if we're going to do this, we're going to do something different. So I think there are adaptations, and then there are really good adaptations. And I think there's kind of a common misconception that Hollywood is maybe just starting to get over, where it's like games are for kids, or like,
yeah.
which there are plenty that are, but there are also yes. plenty that like have stories that are just as robust as anything you would get in a book or a movie.
They do.
And I think that's the thing that Hollywood is starting to pick up on. So like Metal Gear Solid is a great example of that. Like, you can, like, a kid could play Metal, like I played it as a kid, but like, it is an adult story. It's about like terrorists taking over these nuclear tanks and stuff. Like, it is clearly made by an adult, like thinking like an adult, versus like Mario, which is like obviously for children. So I feel like you said, Dan, there's room for all of those different kind of adaptations here. And I hope we get more good ones, because
we will,
you know, these stories are out there. And Fallout kind of is a proof of that, of here's just a really good story. If you don't like games, that's totally cool. You could still have fun watching this show either way, I think.
We'll get really bad ones too. Like, don't get me wrong. There'll be, but we're going to get a lot. And I think
sure.
they'll fit right in there with everything else being adapted. Fantasy Fan likes Fallout. Yeah. He says his third favorite series on Amazon right now. I'm going to guess the number one and two Fantasy Fan are Invincible and The Boys. That's just my guess. I don't know if it's true or not. And I don't know how they're... Oh, Wheel of Time. Eh. Solid number four. Daniel, what else is on the TV these days that you want to talk about?
Okay. So I have waited many years for this day, Dan. So we're gonna talk about it. We're gonna rejoice. So if you have been enjoying shows like Shogun, you like things like maybe The Last Kingdom or Game of Thrones, there is a show that came out on Netflix today that you need to be aware of, and that is Black Sails. Black Sails is on Netflix. Woo!
Jesus.
I'm very excited about it. I'm sorry if that was loud, everyone. That is the level of excitement I have for this. So Black Sails is a pirate drama. It is one half historical fiction set in the golden age of piracy, one half a prequel to Treasure Island, featuring characters like Captain Flint, Long John Silver before he was long, and all these other sorts of characters mixed together, imagining what the golden age of piracy would be like if those characters actually lived in it.
Mm-hmm.
And man, it's top notch. Dan, I know I have probably annoyed you so much over the years gushing about this show, so I just have to ask, will you be watching it now that it's on Netflix? And all of you, will you be watching it?
It is true. People just out there listening, so I've watched a little bit of this show, like two episodes that I kind of gave it up. Daniel talks about this, like, I'm going to go with every other week, there's like some reference dropped.
That's probably true.
And yeah, Now that it's on Netflix, why not? I probably will just at least keep watching the rest. Julie loves Black Sails already. It is a popular show.
Yeah.
It got made, by the way, on Stars, right? Like years ago, ran for four seasons. But the Netflix bump is a real thing. So it got made by sort of a cable network or a premium cable network that had a limited reach. Now that it's on Netflix, though, which everybody and their mother and brother and son and a dog has, it stands a chance of really getting some penetration the way it hadn't before. And I'm happy for it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I watched two episodes and I kind of fell off, but why not? I will get back in and see if the briny wave of the Caribbean takes me away.
Yeah. Well, what I'll say to that, so it's interesting that you fell off after two episodes. I think that's a real, I don't want to say a danger in this show, but I do think this Breaking Bad is a show that always comes to mind for me when I think about shows to compare this to. Because the first season is good. Like, I like the first season. I think it's much better on a rewatch than the first watch because it really throws you in. It doesn't really explain the lay of the land. It kind of leaves you to pick up on stuff a lot. The second through fourth seasons are just an astronomical leap forward. And that's part of why I think of Breaking Bad, where it's like the first season was really good, but like every season that came after it, it just pales in comparison to them. And that is very much the case with Black Sails, where seasons two through four are just in a different league.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a great show. This show dethroned Game of Thrones for me, like in its heyday. Ooh. Like, I just need to convey that because this was on Stars at the same time Thrones was in the middle of its run. It ran from 2014 to 2017, I think. And it was Stars had this and Outlander were kind of its two competitions to Game of Thrones.
Right.
And I think by the Black Sails is more consistent through the end. It's only four seasons, but I think it stuck its landing. And because of that, it has a really, really passionate cult following. It's also the original gay pirate show. So I will say, if you like shows like Our Flag Means Death, that show owes its existence to Black Sails. This is not like hyperbole. Like, Our Flag Means Death probably would never have gotten made if Black Sails hadn't been made first. It really did. That show is a love letter to this one. And I don't want to spoil things, so I won't get into why and how. But Black Sails very much paved the way for it. So if you like Our Flags Means Death, out of historical curiosity, it's worth watching Black Sails. There's my pitch.
Hitting all the angles. I mean, Our Flag Means Death, like, barely got made, but I'm glad that it was able to be a tribute while it lasted. By the way, some good comments. Yeah. And yes, by the way, Nicole agrees with me. She also fell off after two episodes, so we are two episode buddies. And Julie watched it ages ago, started again, and gave up, then went back and stuck with it and enjoyed it. So maybe there is something to getting back on the train and enjoying it all the way through. I will try it again. I'll keep going. By the way, and Fantasy Fan, I should have guessed this, but says that their top three shows on Amazon are The Wheel of Time, The Rings of Power, and now Fallout, which is
It's
really obvious because your name is Fantasy Fan. I'm not sure why I was guessing the other ones. I think I was projecting. But yeah, that seems very, very obvious in retrospect. Amazon is actually doing a pretty good job lately of getting a good catalog of shows to enjoy. So, you know what? I, for one, am happy that Jeff Bezos has more money. I was getting concerned there for a minute. And I'm happy I get to watch good TV. And I will go ahead and try Black Sails again. I will, because you love it, and I respect your opinion. And also, people seem to be really excited about it.
Why, thank you.
And pirates are fun.
Yeah.
The gayer, the better.
Yeah. Pirates are fun, and yes, the gayer the better, and you'll get all of that in this show. It's got a little bit of something for everyone. Once you, again, getting through the first season, like, I hate being one of those people who's like, you just got to stick through one season and then it really takes off. But this is one of those instances where it really is true. This show is produced by Michael Bay, and there are some moments in the first season where, like, it feels like a Michael Bay thing, and then as it goes on, it really gets very, you know, the philosophy and things like that just get dialed up in ways that I'm not making the comparison to something like Shogun, like offhandedly, like in terms of just really, really intricately realized historical dramas, like those two shows share a lot of similarities, I think. So if you've been enjoying Shogun, you probably want to give Black Sails a chance too. Plus, the
Okay, I'll
soundtrack's a
watch it.
banger.
Yes, you love the soundtrack. You love a lot
All
about
right,
Black
I'll stop
Sails.
gushing about Black Sails now.
No, it's cool.
Whew, I
Sorry.
do, it's true.
Don't get dragged down by my pessimism. It sounds great. I will watch it again and looking forward to it. Pirates, pirates, pirates.
Pirates, pirates, pirates. But that's not all we're watching at the moment.
Oh.
Dan, do you have anything that you're enjoying right now? I feel like I've just been gushing about stuff constantly. So why don't you
Which
gush about something you've been
perfectly
loving?
fine. First of all, Booba Boobo is here and says that Black Sails is not on Netflix in his
Stop.
country, which can happen. Booba, where do you live?
I'm sorry,
Out of
Boobo.
curiosity, I don't know if it's everywhere around the world. I know it's in the U.S. I'm curious if you're willing to share, Booba. I would be curious about that. I did have one thing I watched the other night that I want to talk about briefly. I watched the new HBO show, The Sympathizer, which is this historical drama with Robert Downey Jr. and other actors who are not Robert Downey Jr. First episode, really, really cool. It's made by the guy who made Old Boy, whose name escapes me. And I really should look this up before. Anyway, it's about the Vietnam War, kind of from the Vietnamese side of things, about a communist spy, half American, half Vietnamese, who was sent down from the North to be an agent in the South and then is sent to the US after the fall of Saigon. And that sounds heavy, and there was some heavy stuff in the first episode, but also pretty comedic, kind of has a fleet-footed spy drama tone to it. I really, really liked it. I thought it was very, very good. It moved me, it had me intrigued, and I'm looking forward to more of that miniseries. And Downey Jr. is not the main character, but he does play like a CIA 70s spook. And he puts on like a new voice. And I think if you kind of closed your eyes or even squinted, you wouldn't know it was him, which we love to see versatility. So The Sympathizer, I recommend it.
Nice. Okay. I was going to ask if that was the one where he plays a bunch of different roles, but it doesn't sound like it.
No.
He's one specific person in this one. That sounds cool. I haven't really heard too much about that yet, but I might need to check it out. You're
Park
reminding
Chan-wook
me.
is the name of the
So
guy who
I
made
didn't
it.
even have this. Okay, cool.
Just
I
FYI.
saw Oppenheimer, which I hadn't seen
Oh.
before. I finally watched it. I was a little let down, I'm not gonna lie. I enjoyed it, but I don't know that I'll be rushing to rewatch it anytime soon, is how I would put it.
Okay. Yeah, honest to God, I kind of with you. I saw it in the theaters during the whole Barbenheimer thing, and I liked it. It was good. I felt like it kind of peaked with the atomic test, and then I was not as excited for the rest of the whole trial portion. Wonderfully well made, and it might be one of those
Yes,
things that I
agree.
think I appreciate more in rewatch. But I kind of agree with you that it didn't like blow back my brains out. By the way, some great comments here, but people are watching. Nicole finished Manhunt and started Franklin, which I've heard about. Manhunt was boring. Sorry
Nice.
about that. And Mary and George is also getting a lot of good
It
press. We love those royal dramas.
is.
And Shogun and Fallout. TV has been busy. It has. TV has been good lately. Fantasy fan watching
It
Fallout,
has.
Chucky, The Bad Batch, and Star Trek Discovery. Star Trek Discovery is back for its final season.
Woo.
And Daniel, you'll love this. Robert Harris started Arcane on Netflix, which I know that you
Nice.
love,
I do.
which is another of Daniel
That's
Sylvester's
another.
shows. And wait, finally, one more. And Bobo is talking to us from Kiev, Ukraine. So thanks for sharing, Bobo.
Ah, cool.
And they searched for the pirate show, but they got recommended The Lost Pirate Kingdom instead of Black Sails on Netflix. Sorry about that.
That's hard. One of the tough things with recommending Black Sails to people over the years has been that it's not very accessible because it was
True.
on Stars and it just hasn't been widely available since then. So Yeah, I did hear some UK people that I know talking about how it's not over there yet. So hopefully other territories start getting it. But beyond that, Shogun is the big thing that I've been watching. Show an obscene amount of Fallout and Shogun. And we won't spoil it, the latest episode for Robert Harris, but Shogun is staying just consistently excellent. It is not a cheerful show, I would say. It's a medieval drama, and there's a lot of sad things that happen. It's very brutal. It's lots of life and death, and talk of seppuku. Everyone's talking about seppuku every other episode, it feels a little bit in that show. But I assume that's what the source material's like. And the show itself is, I think, probably going to end up being one of the better, at least limited series that we see this year, if not just better shows in general. Are you, I know you started it, Dan. Are you still watching it, or have you fallen
Oh no,
off?
I'm on it. It's just I've been going through a lot lately, and my personal life has been I've been having a lot of like st st I've been very busy. So yes, we're
Okay.
watching Shogun, we're watching Fallout, but we're behind, and we're trying to
Got
catch up to all
stuff.
of it.
Cool. Well, Shogun, yeah, gets pretty heavy. Heavy but very good. I think the last episode, I don't know if you've seen this, there's been a lot of like Emmy buzz around Anna Sawai, who
Yes, I
plays
have.
Mariko.
Michael.
This episode is her, yes, you should just give me an Emmy episode, the one that just aired. The
You
penultimate
can't
one was
not.
very good, had a good focus on her character, and she really just is a it's a career defining performance for her. I feel like we're watching her have one of her career defining performances that is gonna change the trajectory of her career, and I love that for her.
Very
But
cool.
yeah, that's pretty much, aside from that, I've been watching Succession, finally working through the last two seasons. I
Finally,
find
jeez, that show's so good.
we yeah it is it's been great. They're arguing about who should be the next president right now, and
Mean,
we find
they always are. Oh,
they,
the like
yeah, apparently.
president. Sorry.
The president, yeah, that even more, even crazier than just their usual bickering about who should be the president of their company. Who should be the president of the United States? So that's been a trip. Yeah, Succession. It's always good to watch horrible people do horrible stuff and crack jokes while they do it. Basically, my pitch.
Roman Roy forever. As Bubo says, Ella Purnell, who is in Fallout, is also in Arcane. So that is two excellent video
She is.
adaptations in main roles. She is very good. I can see her becoming a pretty big star, like a really good star slash great actor, because she's extremely good. All the best to
Yeah.
Ella Purnell. And again,
She's
I'm
having
just
a
glad Jeff Bezos is getting money. Yes, go on.
she's I was just gonna say she's had a really good run of past like her past few projects. So she was in Yellow Jackets, which a lot of people liked.
Oh, right.
Watching Fallout, I kept thinking like she's got the voice, like she'd make a good Harley Quinn. Like I kept having
Totally.
that thought, and then I realized she voices Jinx in Arcane, who is like the League of Legends equivalent of Harley Quinn. So that definitely she's really, really good in both of those, I think. So yeah, I'm right there with you. Like, power to you, Ella Purnell. Please keep doing what you're doing.
I see Emmys in her future for something. I'm not sure what for yet exactly, but something.
Yeah.
And I agree that Anna Sawai probably going to get one. Robert Harris likes the performance, and who wouldn't
Yeah,
if you
she
watched it?
should.
Although so far as Ella Purnell playing Harley Quinn, I'll just say protect Margot Robbie at all costs, and Lady Gaga at all
Wow, I
costs.
won't tell
Man,
late.
that role
I
has
was just
been
gonna say, I won't
very
tell Gaga you said that.
well. That version has to sing. Daniel,
True.
anything else you want to talk about before we move on to our final segment?
I don't think so. I think, oh, one last Fallout thing, one last little gush. Walton Goggins in that show is great. And I feel like he and Hiroyuki Sanada, who plays the main Lord Torinaga in Shogun, I feel like both of those actors we've seen do a lot of incredible supporting actor work over the years. And I just love that they're both having like lead actor turns in these two very good shows right now. That's
sure.
And that's it. Now I can stop gushing.
Cool. Well, with the gushing over, why don't we move on over to the WIC News Lightning Round, where we each go back and forth,
do it,
giving our 20-second takes, no more, no less, on bits of news we didn't have time to fit into the main body of the show. Daniel, who's going first this week?
I am most certainly going to ask you first, because I want to know what your thoughts are on this. Oh. And you really like this show. So
have you watched
Invincible? I haven't. I need to. I probably will soon, because now I keep going to Amazon Prime Video to watch Fallout, and it keeps saying Invincible as like the number two show, or it's next to it on the home screen. So it's going to happen. That's how they get us. So Invincible, the subversive superhero show on Prime cartoon. It was apparently renewed for seasons 4 and 5, according to a now deleted message. What's the deal with this?
Well, no one knows. There's like a Kickstarter made by the company that makes Invincible, crowdfunding a video game, and they said it was renewed, then they deleted it. I don't know. I think it would have to be. The show's a success. The show's excellent, and they want to keep the role going. And if you don't want 3-year gaps, you got to renew things ahead of time, which I think more shows are starting to do. So I hope that's true, because I want to keep watching this for years to come. All right.
Yeah.
Daniel, let me just say this, that House of the Dragon star Freddie Fox, who's coming on board next season as Allison Hightower's older brother, Gawain, will play Loki, the Norse god, in the second season of The Sandman on Netflix.
Yeah, glad to see Freddie Fox getting more roles. I think he might have been in Slow Horses too, which is a spy thriller on Apple TV Plus. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he's playing Loki. I don't know him well enough to really know how I feel about as a casting, but I'm excited to see more Sandman. And if Loki's going to be in Sandman, that sounds pretty cool to me. I'm on board with it. Speaking of the Sandman, so Neil Gaiman, who wrote the comic, has apparently seen half of season 2, and he also says his other show, Good Omens, season 3 of that is supposed to start filming next year.
He did. I mean, it's all true. I like The Sandman. I like Good Omens, so I'm glad to see what's going on. They've both been slowed down. He also said, he was like a big interview about the state of the industry, that we're going to see fewer shows going forward because this big gold rush is over, which I think is true. And it's I'm not sure when it'll start to hit, but I guess enjoy the great TV while it lasts, and like the bounty of good stuff, because we might have less in the future.
Yeah. Seems like that is the way the wind is blowing.
Just fine. All things change, turn. Daniel, but one thing changing for the better, acting icon and the Walton Goggins of his day, Steve Buscemi, has joined the cast of Wednesday for the second season on Netflix. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, this feels like a match made in hell to me, and by hell I mean heaven, but it's the Addams Family. So Steve Buscemi will apparently be the new dean of the school where Wednesday is off to boarding school. Wednesday was a huge hit. Steve Buscemi is amazing. He's a perfect fit for this show. It's gonna be working with the guy's name is evading me, who made Nightmare Before Christmas. Tim Burton. That guy, damn, what a man. Yeah, Steve Buscemi will be working with him, and that feels like a great fit. All right, Dan, I'm very overly excited because of lots of coffee and black sails, but I'm going to ask you a question that has nothing to do with either of those things. So the Lord of the Rings, the Rings of Power, reportedly they have multiple endings that they're mulling over for that, and they haven't quite settled on which one they're going to use yet. What's the deal with this? Is it true? What's your take?
I mean, I'm very hesitant to say it's true because apparently they leak false stuff, and we did report on these false, silly rumors about Tom Bombadil that were just flat out lies. This one has the ring of truth to it, but that's not really enough to like bet the farm on. They all sound dumb, which does not surprise me. Although I'm sorry for Fantasy Fan. I don't think I like Rings of Power as much as you did, but we'll see what happens when and if it ever airs. They have not announced anything about a new release date, which is really starting to feel a little odd, but we'll see what happens next year or this year. Daniel, speaking of renewals, TV, these kind of things, Monarch, Legacy of Monsters, the show about Godzilla and all his freaky friends, has been renewed for season 2 on Apple TV+. Also, there are Godzilla spinoffs in the works. Rar.
Rar. I'm happy for this show. It seemed like a lot of people really liked it. It seemed like they did some interesting things. This was the one where they had, gosh, I'm blanking on everyone's names today. They had the older actor and the younger actor, their family members, and their names are evading me. They were playing the same character. Yeah, it's good to see the MonsterVerse expanding and getting multiple spinoffs and getting another season. Apple TV Plus is apparently the network that renews things. That's their rep at this point. Speaking of, For All Mankind was also renewed at Apple TV Plus for season 5.
Good. For All Mankind is this really cool, different sci-fi series. What if we never stopped the space race Soviet Union back in the 60s? It's like it spanned 5 decades at this point, and now they're going to have a fifth season. I think it makes it the longest running show on Apple TV Plus. I like the show. I'm glad it's coming back. And the people you were thinking of were Kurt Russell and Wyatt Russell in Monarch Legacy of Monsters.
God, the shame. The shame. Yeah.
So you don't
you.
Know who Kurt Jesus. Russell's son is. Who cares? He barely knows. All right.
I forgot
and finally,
Kurt Russell's name. Okay. Sorry. I'm ready.
He's a has been. He's fine. Love Kurt Russell. And finally, 3 new cast members have been revealed for The Wheel of Time, season 3. There's Bjorn Lantberg, Savon McCody Lunt, and Nukaka Coster-Waldau, the wife of Game of Thrones star Nikolai Coster-Waldau.
Yeah, hat tip here to Watts Series, who did this scoop. These 3 actors are reportedly joining The Wheel of Time Season 3. We do not know who they play, although Bjorn Lantberg apparently has a very nice singing voice, which a lot of people are taking to mean he could be a certain gleeman we expect to see in season 3. It's always nice to see more people joining the Wheel of Time cast. I expect news this weekend at JordanCon. Keep an eye on Wheel of Time news this weekend because we may get some.
Very nice. We will. And keep an eye here on the Winter is Coming YouTube and Facebook channel where we stream new episodes of Take the Black every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. We're also available in podcast form to listen to on your drive, during your workout, while gardening. There are any number of things you can listen to, or just sit down in the dark and listen to us talk. Get us there at iTunes, YouTube Music, wherever you get podcasts. And to close out this episode, I just have 5 words that I think Daniel Roman would endorse that will help you get through any situation in life. And those words are Lunar, the Silver Star Story. Goodbye.
Oh, yeah. Take care, all. That's right.
This podcast is brought to you by FanSided. Join our community of over 300 sites from sports to pop culture and everything in between.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy 2, get 2 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.